God's grace and peace to all of you dear people, and welcome to this part of the service. Okay, turn to Psalm 96 for a text this morning. Psalm 96, and the title this morning is The Song of the Saints. The Song of the Saints. Our God is a singing God. The scripture says that God joys over his people with singing. That's a fascinating thought. Maybe you struggle with feeling like you're worth much. Maybe sometimes you have the feeling like you're just not that important. Or you maybe wonder about your identity. Who am I? Does anyone care? But did you know that if you are a child of God, God sings about you? You see, we sing about the things that mean the most to us. And the Bible says that God joys over his people with singing. That's a powerful thought. It's a thought of belonging, a thought of purpose, a thought of great love flowing from our Heavenly Father to each one of us as children. So our God is a singing God. God's creation is a singing creation. And we'll notice that in this passage. God's people are a singing people. We'll also notice that. And in fact, that is throughout Scripture, that God's people are a singing people. There's many examples of that. But along with that comes the command to sing unto the Lord. It's interesting. The scope of singing. As you think about singing over the course of time, in fact, throughout all of eternity, there is singing. To me, it just once again reiterates the significance of singing and the importance that God places on singing. But we read in Job 38 that there was singing at the groundbreaking ceremony of the earth. We read there that when God laid the foundations of the earth, the morning stars sang, and all the sons of God or the angels shouted for joy. That's beautiful. And then, of course, we have singing recorded all through time. But then, once again, in Revelation, we have glimpses into heaven where God's people are singing. They're still singing. They're still singing. And the theme of that song around the throne is, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb." And so it's been said that singing is the only ordinance of the church that will continue for eternity in heaven. Find that fascinating. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. And by the way, that word idol has the idea of being naught, vain, good for nothing. That's the idea. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof.
Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. This morning, we will take a descriptive look at the believer's song, as we find it in this passage, but we will also then branch out into some other psalms for support. But looking at the believer's song, and specifically, we will highlight five features of the believer's song. And the first is this. The song of the saints is a song of acclamation. A song of acclamation. Now, acclamation means to express in praise. It's a loud, eager expression of praise. Now, with each of my points this morning, I'm also going to give one other word that begins with an L. Each word begins with an L. And that word is sort of the focus word along with the point. But I'm saying here that the song of the saints is a song of acclamation. And the word that goes along with this point is lifting. This song is a song that lifts. Lifts what? Well, we lift our voices when we praise the Lord. We lift our voices together. We lift our praises to God. But most of all, we are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in our singing. Sing unto the Lord. In fact, we have that three times here at the beginning of this psalm. Sing who? Unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. We are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focus of the believer's song. We sing to him because of who he is. Now, I want you to think about that. So the word here is Lord in Psalm 96. We find it 11 different times. Lord, this is the name for God. The Lord, he is the self-existent one. He is Jehovah. He is the eternal one. He is the one true God. That's the one we're singing to. But it makes it very personal when we realize that that word Lord, Jehovah, is also the relationship God. The God who longs to have a relationship with his creation. It's not the Elohim God. It is. But it is noted as the Jehovah God in this passage, the covenant-making God, the God that is personable to us with his people. Sing unto that God. Sing unto him. Notice here in verses 4 through 6 why we should sing unto the Lord. The Lord is great. He is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And then we have the contrast again. The gods of the nations are good for nothing. They're dead. They're not. But the contrast is the Lord, Jehovah, made the heavens. I mean, what a staggering contrast that is. Think about the gods of the nations today, whether it's money or sports or sex or this or hobbies or you name it, the gods of the nation, they're good for nothing. They're vain. But think about the life-giving power of Jehovah, the Lord. Think of how he brings life and fullness and strength and goodness and blessing to those who worship him. The Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. I say the song of the saints is a song of acclamation. It's a loud, eager expression of praise to this one. Now, notice another picture of this same Lord, and we find it in Psalm 97. Notice the first few verses of this. And in this picture, we have a God that is awesome, a God that is mighty, that the earth trembles before him. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goes out before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. What a mighty God we serve. A God that is so mighty, a God that is so powerful, a God that is so awesome. And yet that is the God who desires a relationship with his people. That is a God who loves to have an intimate walk with us, his creation. And the song of the saints reflects that praise. Secondly, then, I note that the Song of the Saints is a song of adoration. It's a song of adoration. And the L word that goes along with this to help us understand this and put this in focus is loving. The Song of the Saints is a song about loving. Loving God. Not as much for who he is, but for what he has done. We extol him, we praise him, we lift him up for who he is, but we love him specifically for what he has done. And when we think about that, we think about salvation. We think about redemption. We think about how he has changed our lives, transformation. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And so we realize that at the center of salvation is a God that is once again pursuing his people. A God that is reaching out to us. It is not so much we that are seeking after God as it is God who is seeking for us, for mankind, to develop a relationship with him. And we love him because God was the first in calling us back to a relationship. You see, it was man that chose to walk away from God. It was because of man that a separation exists between God and man. But it was God who said, come back to me. Isn't that an amazing thought? We were the ones who left. And so as human beings, we would like to say, well, then you need to come back. You know, that's how we do to people, right? You left first, so you come back first. But that's not our gracious God. We walked away, and God comes towards us. He says, come, come. It's a beautiful picture of God. And our songs, as believers, our songs reflect that. They reflect not only God's love for us, but then our love for him. Our songs reflect what he has done for us. Verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day, or proclaim his salvation day after day. The idea there is that our songs should be a perpetual proclamation of what God has done for us and what God is doing for us. Day after day. Turn back a couple pages of Psalm 92. Thinking about God's loving kindness toward mankind. Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. Turn to Psalm 98. Perhaps across the page from where we started, Psalm 98, the first four verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. And so in that passage there, the focus is we are to sing unto the Lord. Why? Because he is a God of salvation. He is a God of victory. He is a God of mercy and truth. And he has remembered his people. He's remembered his people. God remembers you. God knows that you have need. God knows that you are poor and needy. God knows that there is something in your life that you cannot experience outside of him. He remembers you. And once again, God, being the gracious, loving God that he is the one that reaches out to you, inviting you back to relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. And that, dear people, demands a song of us. How did God show us the depth of his love? By the way, while I'm thinking about it, song leader, plan to lead 569 at the end of the service. How did God show us the depth of his love? You see, through his tender mercy and through his amazing grace, God has offered salvation and redemption to us, to all of mankind, for whosoever will. It's not restricted to certain classes, to certain calibers of people. He's extended that to us. And so when we, by faith, accept that free gift that he has extended, our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, and our lives are transformed. Our lives are transformed. Now, I want us to think for just a few moments about the connection between singing and salvation. There's a very direct connection between singing and salvation. In Psalm 137, we have the picture of God's people in captivity. They are in captivity, and are they singing? No. They have no song to sing. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. And we wept, it says, when we remembered Zion. And we hung our harps on the willow bushes. And those that had taken us captive, they mocked us. And they said, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Sing us one of those songs that y'all sing back at your church. And this was the response of the people. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? And it shows the immense amount of grief that these people were going through. They had been led captive away from Jerusalem, away from their church, as it were, away from the presence of God, where God dwelt. And now they're being asked to sing. And they said, we can't sing. We can't sing because we're in captivity. We're in bondage. But I want you to notice a contrasting picture. Turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and notice this contrasting picture. Verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, And then, I put that word in, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And this is the response of the people. Yes, my word there. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I want you to notice something in particular. Notice, we have deliverance, then we have singing, then we have testimony in that order. Deliverance, singing, and testimony. It says that after the Lord delivered his people, then they were laughing. They were joyful. Then they broke into song. And then the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. How could they tell? How could the heathen tell that something was different? Because they were singing. Their song told a message about what God had done for them. And the people said, you're absolutely right. The Lord hath done great things for us. And it makes us glad. It makes us happy. Singing. Turn to Psalm 40. And we have a very similar picture here. This is David's testimony in Psalm 40. And once again, you're going to notice this. Deliverance, singing, and testimony. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Have you ever thought about the powerful testimony your song, your music has on the world around you, on the unbelievers? There's something very powerful about the believer's song that the world takes note of. How can they be singing? Why are they singing? Why is their singing different? Why does it sound like angels? You know, all of those things, it produces questions in the heart of the world. And with that, we then have an open door to share Jesus. It's because of what Christ has done in my life. I've experienced that. I've been saved. I was in bondage. I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I've been delivered. And it fills my heart with joy. And out of that flows a song. Singing, dear people, is always the proper response to deliverance experienced. I say it's the proper response. It's the spontaneous response. In other words, when I say spontaneous, I mean that God's people don't have to think about what they should do. When God does something great for you, you shouldn't have to scratch your head and say, wow, like, that's amazing. I wonder what we should do in a situation like this. You know, what should we do? But the scripture says that when God works mightily on the behalf of his people, God's people break into singing. It flows out of what God has done for them. And so, simply put, saved people sing, period. Okay? Saved people sing. Nowhere do we read in the Bible that if you've grown up in a singing family, then you sing. Or if you're a music teacher, then you should sing. Or if you have a bachelor's degree in vocal performance, then you sing. No, we don't read that in the Bible. But what we do read is if you're saved and if you have the Spirit, you sing. You sing. You see, singing isn't so much a church thing as it is a Spirit thing. It's what the saved person does. They sing. Now, what do they sing? Well, we could go back to our text, and actually we read it right here in Psalm 42. David said that he has put a new song in my mouth. A new song. What does that mean? And our text says that we are supposed to sing unto the Lord a new song. Now, it's helpful for us to understand what is meant by new, what the definition of new is, because there is an implication there. It's talking about something. And it's not talking so much about a song that was just recently written in the last few weeks or the last year. No, it's not so much about that, but it's new in freshness, new in quality. It implies that there is an old song, but the believer sings a new song, okay? Now, if you have been changed, if you have been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, then you can probably think back to an old song, right? Don't think too long. But we're changed now, and now we have a new song to sing, right? I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed, and it's not the old one anymore. It's new in quality. It's new in freshness. It's new in character. That's the new we're talking about here. When the Bible says to sing a new song, that's what it's referring to. And so we're talking about a song that is a part of a new person. A person who has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. A person that is now walking in newness of life. And so they have a new heart. And out of that new heart comes a new hunger. And it's a hunger for something better. And that's reflected in their singing. That's reflected in their music. Once again, remember that we sing about the things that are important to us. We sing about the things that mean the most to us. And so, singing is really a window into our heart. Our music is a sneak peek into our heart, into that hidden part of our heart. It tells on us. It does. And so I asked you this morning, what is your song telling about you? What is your music making obvious to those around you? When people hear your song, when people hear your music, are they surprised? Do they say, I wouldn't have thought they would listen to that kind of music? Something doesn't stack up there. Or do they say, absolutely, that makes all the sense in the world. His music flows out of who he says he is. What about yours? Is your music accurately expressing the change that you say has taken place in your life? Or does it give reason to doubt? The Song of the Saints is a new song. It's a song of adoration. It flows out of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you think that includes his music? Yeah, I believe it does. I believe it does. It's definitely something for us to think about and to thank God for, that he is in the restoration business. And I understand that that thing of being made new is a journey. We call it sanctification, where God is working on our lives. He's making us what we ought to be in light of who he is. And God has this way through his Spirit of putting his finger on places of our life that are outside of his will. I've been there. I've done that. I grew up in a singing family, but my music tastes weren't always right. But yet God has his way of pointing those things out and saying, you need to give that up. You need to draw closer to me. You've come this far, but you need to come further. And those things can be a little bit painful to us. We don't like that. And yet God is calling us to a deeper walk with him. And through that deeper walk with him, we can experience greater blessings and our life can be a more clear testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Commit to being that. Thirdly, then, the Song of the Saints is a song of affirmation. A song of affirmation. And the word that goes along with this is living. In other words, the believer's song reflects on his living. It is a song that expresses experience. You know, really, our songs are testimonies that say, this is what happened to me. I used to be this way. I used to do this. I used to look like this. But then God got a hold of me, and I'm no longer that way. Now I'm this. And our songs are living testimonies about what has happened and what is happening in our life. And so we often refer to this genre or this category of music as gospel songs. Gospel songs are songs that talk about me. Okay, now truly, through the lens of what God is doing in me, but they are more about my personal experience, what I have been through, what God has done, what he's doing. Gospel songs do that. You know, in many ways, these songs of affirmation, they're us saying, you know, this is my story, and this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is where I've been and this is where I'm going. Look at verse 3 here in Psalm 96. It says, we are to declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. When I look at that, I think about what God is doing in my life. That my life, because of Jesus Christ, is a wonder of his grace. It's about my personal experience. And we are to declare that to those around us. Look at what God has done. Look at what God is doing. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. And so I just want you to consider here for a moment this morning what God has done for you. Think of all the many things that God has done for you. Think of the things that God is doing for you today. Now, it's easy for us to think about the things that we wish God was doing or we wish God had done. But I challenge you to think about what God has done, what God is doing, what God has promised to do in the future. Think about it. Think of all the times that God was there for you. In your moments of loneliness or discouragement, think about all the answered prayers. Think about God's hand of protection about your life. Think about all the times that God met your needs physically, spiritually, materially, financially. He's done it so many times. And if you're having a hard time thinking of those things, Then just open up the latest Christian Aid Ministries newsletter and think again. Think again. Think of the believers that are struggling severely in other parts of the world. Think of the trials and all the hardships they are going through, and then think of what God has done for you. You see, once again, singing should be the spontaneous response for the Christian. And it was for many people that we read about in the Bible. Think about the children of Israel. After God brought them through the Red Sea in a miraculous kind of way, they got on the other side, and here comes Pharaoh and his army, and God closes that sea up and just basically makes a mockery of Satan and his power, okay? And what was the spontaneous response of God's people? We have there that Moses and Miriam and the children of Israel, they burst into song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then they said, the Lord is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. That's a song of personal experience. I was there. I saw it. I came through that. God did this, and they sang. They sang. And you know, to them, to sing, he has also become my salvation. that meant something to them in a special way that it didn't mean for some other people 4 hours away. But for them that day, and that's what a song of affirmation is. It's saying, yes, God did it. I was there. I observed it. Praise the Lord. We could think about the children of Israel later when God gave them water in the desert. And they immediately sang. They said, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Or we could think about Hannah after God answered her desperate prayer for a son. She sang. We could think about Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, and there's many others that when God worked in a mighty way in their personal lives, they burst into song. And I say, that is a mark of the song of the saints, a song of affirmation saying, God has done it for me. Praise the name of the Lord. Number four, then, is that the song of the saints is a song of aspiration. A song of aspiration. And the word that goes along with this is, it's a song of longing. Longing. Now, I have three short statements that I want you to ponder. The first is this. You imitate what you worship. Secondly, what you give yourself to directs your life. Thirdly, you are shaped by your longing. Okay? You're shaped by your longing. Generally speaking, people tend to move in the direction of their focus. They move in the direction of their longing, of what they want, of who they aspire to be like, of where they aspire to be in life. They move in that direction. Now, the heartbeat of every sincere Christian this morning is a longing to be like Jesus. If you are a sincere believer this morning, at the center of your life is, Lord, I just want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. And since our song, since our music is a window into our heart, it should be no surprise that many of the Christians' songs are songs of aspiration. In fact, when you look through the songbook, sometimes those sections are the larger ones. There's been so many songs over the years written by believers that are songs of longing, of desire to grow, to be like Christ. Now, verse 9 is our verse for this point. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, notice it doesn't say worship the Lord in the beauty of the aesthetics. It doesn't say worship the Lord in the beauty of stained glass windows. It doesn't say worship the Lord in the beauty of traditions and forms, but it says worship him in the beauty of holiness. Holiness. Now, granted, sometimes those things that I mentioned, they can be aids to worship. They can aid in the emotionalism of the worship experience, but they are not worship in and of themselves. And we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now notice that this command comes right on the heels of a threefold command. And that is, give unto the Lord. Three times. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord. And we say, well, in practical terms, how do we do that? How do I give unto the Lord? How can I give God something? I mean, look at who I am. Look at who he is. And the answer then comes right on the heels of that. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. You see, holiness is that inner desire to be more like Jesus. It's that inner desire that then directs the outer. And as we have a desire to be more like Jesus, that then transforms our life. So I say holiness is that inner desire that transforms the outer. The inner desire that transforms our life. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That is to worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4. In other words, worship Him inside and out. To worship Him in the beauty of holiness is to worship Him with a heart that has been sanctified by the grace of God, that is devoted to the glory of God, and that is overflowing with the goodness of God. Once again, it starts on the inside, but it doesn't stay on the inside. When someone has been transformed, when their heart has been changed by the power of God, you know it. There's no wondering about it. You don't look at that person and say, I wonder who they are. Like, I just can't understand. No, it's obvious. That's a changed person. And how do you know it? Because of a changed life. It speaks for itself. And I say that our songs reflect this. They give a hearty yay and amen to this work that has happened within us. And so aspiration is a theme that runs rich through the believer's song. Lastly, then, the song of the saints is a song of anticipation. A song of anticipation. And here the word that goes with this is looking. The song of the saints is a song that causes us to look forward to what is yet to come. We're anticipating God to work. Now, verses 10 through 13, let's note these again. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Now, notice here how all creation is joining into song in anticipation of God fulfilling His promises. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, everything in the sea. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. The song of the saints is a song of anticipation. It takes the promises of God to heart. It believes them. And then it lives with those promises in focus. The song of the saints is a song that is always looking forward. Now, I want you to ponder this for a moment. It's always looking forward. Oh, yes. It remembers the past, and it reflects on the past. But the song of the saints does not stay in the past. It never stays in the past. Nor does it stay in the present. But it is always looking forward to the promises of God. The promises that God has made, it's looking forward with eager anticipation to the fulfillment of those promises. And that is something that is a very stark contrast as we think about qualities of song. That's a stark contrast to the world's song. The world's song, the world's music just wallows in the filth, the immorality, the selfish living of today, of the past. It stays there. Now, granted, the believer's song is often born out of hardships and out of trials, out of struggles, but it doesn't leave you there like the world's song does. The believer's song always points you to the answer, capital A, of those problems, of that sin, of that whatever you are going through. Praise the Lord for that. It is a song of anticipation, a song that is looking forward. Let me just say this yet. The song of the saints is looking forward to that day when God will make all things new, when God will set all things straight, when God will at last redeem his people from this wicked world. Aren't you looking forward to that? And see, it's our singing, it's our song, it's our music that helps keep us in the game. Among other things, among his word and encouragement and other. But I'm saying the song of the saints encourages us to keep keeping on because God will fulfill his promises. In Revelation 14, we have a glimpse into the throne room of heaven. And there, gathered around the throne, is a huge group of people. But it's not just any people. It's not just any person who wants to be there. It's a huge group of people, and it says that they are singing a new song. They're singing a new song. And it says the only ones who are a part of that group singing that song are those who have experienced redemption from the earth. No man can learn that song except those who have been redeemed from the earth. Those are the ones who are gathered around the throne singing. And I just asked you this morning, do you know that song? Have you learned that song? Are you singing that song today? Is that song, is that music a mark of your life today? Because you can't expect to enjoy being gathered around the throne singing that new song if it's not a part of your life from your heart today. May God bless each of you as you think about your music, as you think about your song, as you think about the God that demands a song from us. May it encourage us to be people that are singing. Singing to who? Singing unto the Lord, because he is worthy of our praise. Let's sing together.
Number 569.
Every name. We shall gather round him at his